How are your anxiety levels right now? Are you worried? I'm Pastor Jeremiah, Pastor Jay, and this season has been a time of worry for me personally. I shared this story before, but just when the pandemic started, my wife was in Uganda, and we weren't sure if she was going to be able to get back home to Canada. I was worried for her safety, for her well-being. Thankfully, she came home by God's grace. Praise the Lord. But cost a pretty penny to get her here back in Canada. The plane tickets, ooh, they were pretty high. And added to the worry of her coming home was the worry of, are we going to be able to pay for this bill? Or what are we going to do financially? And that also made me worried. And since then, there are more things coming up to increase worry. Well, how about you? Are you worried? Today, we're going to look at the words of Jesus in Luke as he invites us to be still and to calm our worry. And in this passage we're about to read, there's two types of worry. There is the one word in Greek, which kind of means divided or split or torn apart. It's the idea where you're just in your body or in your mind, you're just torn between two things and your body's being ripped apart with worry. The second word that Jesus uses in Greek means suspended, and it's the image of kind of a boat caught in a stormy sea. It's suspended above water and it's rocking and wailing. Ah. Out of those two, what kind of worry are you feeling right now? As we go into the text, the first thing Jesus says is to don't worry. And in the Greek, it's better translated, stop worrying. The disciples were already worried about something, and Jesus invites them and us to calm our worry and find peace in him. So if your Bibles, please turn with me as we go to Luke chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 22 all the way to 34. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry or stop worrying about your life, what you eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a good creator. You care for the birds. You clothe the lilies. And you watch over us. Lord, we are anxious right now. We are worried about so many things. Please come, Lord Jesus, to calm our worry. Help us, Lord, to see and receive your kingdom and to trust you above all else. And may your words come into mine, and may these words glorify your name, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this passage. And here's what I believe God wants us to know today. Investing in this world creates worry. Receiving God's kingdom calms worry. Jesus wants to calm our worry. In case you didn't know, we're doing our series right now, Fan versus Follower. We're looking at being a disciple of Jesus. And fans are those who maybe love and admire Jesus, but they're not 100% in. They haven't fully surrendered their lives in complete trust to Jesus. Followers, on the other hand, they've given 100% of their lives to Jesus. And I believe that fans and followers have a different relationship to worry because of their relationship to Jesus. And we're going to look at two things today. The first one is fans of Jesus invest in this world. And the second one is followers of Jesus receive God's kingdom. Again, the big idea is investing in this world creates worry. Receiving the kingdom, God's kingdom, calms worry. Let's look at the first point. Fans of Jesus invest in this world. Now, there is unhealthy worry that we kind of talked about, but also there is a type of healthy worry. In fact, in the New Testament, the word for worry that Jesus first used in verse 22, it means that to be divided or torn apart. It can also be translated into care. We worry about certain things because we care about them. I was worried about my wife Sarah in Uganda because I care for her. And that is a really, really good thing. However, there's also unhealthy worry. This is when we over-worry. When we are torn apart completely and like a ship lost at sea, where we can barely sleep at night, or we can barely get out of bed. And since it was Reformation Day this past week, I thought I'd quote from one of the reformers, good old John Calvin. He puts it like this: "But if we give proper attention to the words of Christ, we shall find that he does not forbid every kind of care or every kind of worry, but only what arises from distrust." The worry that Jesus is talking about comes from when we do not trust that God will care for us, that he will provide our needs. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that God will provide your needs? I like to say that I do. I trust in you, Lord. But if I look deep in my heart, do I really? One way to find out if we truly trust in God is to look and see where we invest our time, our talents, and treasures. Because we invest into things, we pour into things, and people in whom we trust. Jesus kind of puts it like this in verse 34. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is your treasure? Where is your investments? Look at those things. This will determine where your heart is, where your trust is. And if our trust is not in God, the result is great anxiety. If you look at the first part of Jesus' words, he says in verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, "Therefore." That's a very important word because whenever that occurs, it usually means that we have to look at what occurred or what Jesus said just before this text. Something happened, Jesus said something, "therefore," and we find just before this a very interesting story called the parable of the rich fool. Let me just read it real quick. Verse 16, Jesus tells this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'Ah, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, Ah, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God.'" Now, what was this rich man investing in? In whom was he investing in? It was himself. Instead of using his resources to serve God or love his neighbor, he invested in his own wealth, building bigger barns, his own personal relaxation. And when I look at this story, you know, he doesn't seem like a bad guy. He seems innocent enough. He just wants to enjoy life, build bigger barns. But God condemns him, and it's a warning to us. Jesus says in verse 15, just before he tells the story, he says, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in abundance of possessions. This is very emphatic in the Greek language. And the word guard actually means to fight off an enemy. Fight it. Watch out for greed. Fight against it continually. And what this Jesus is trying to tell us, or God's trying to tell us through that, is even though this man might have called himself a follower of God, his actions prove that he was only a fan. His investments prove that he was trusting in himself and this world. Because fans of Jesus invest in this world. Now, when I say world, I don't just mean creation, the trees, the birds, but I kind of use it the way Jesus does. He uses this in verse 30. "For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them." It's this world system that we have created, and which is ruled by sin and fundamentally opposed to God. 1 John kind of sums up what the world is in really striking detail. He says here in chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. For anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, and it's not trees or bugs or butterflies, but the lust of the flesh, the cravings of the flesh." This rich fool wanted to be eat, drink, just enjoy life all the time. The lust of his eyes. This rich fool, he wanted more, bigger barns, more wealth, and the pride of life. He said, "I'll say to myself, look what I've done. These things come not from the Father, but from the world." This is kind of the world that John is talking about. And this man, he proved that he was a fan of God because of his investment in the world. Now, think about this. If something bad happened in this rich fool's life before he died, something like, I don't know, a pandemic, how do you think he would react? I believe he would be utterly anxious. If he saw that he was in danger of losing his wealth, all that he built, he would be the guy hoarding all the toilet paper. Because his trust was in this fleeting world, and that would be the cause of his anxiety. Investing in this world creates worry. This man was a fan of Jesus because of his investments. And 1 John 2, he sums it up like this. "The world and its desires will pass away, and those who trust in it will always be anxious. But whoever does the will of God, seeks after him, lives forever." Investing in this world creates worry. Receiving God's kingdom calms worry. And let's go to the second point then. Followers of Jesus receive God's kingdom. In the Bible, it says that when the first humans sinned, this kingdom of darkness invaded all the world, and this world system, ruled by sin and death, came into being. And God saw this, and he wanted to save us. So Jesus, God in the flesh, went on this rescue mission to defeat the kingdom of darkness, destroy sin and death, and bring about his kingdom. And that's what Jesus did. Through Jesus' life, his death and resurrection, he has defeated the powers of darkness and establish God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is here and now. And this means that God is fully in charge of our lives. And it means that he, God the Father, will take care of us. And this is the promise that Jesus has for us in verse 32. This is one of my favorite passages, which I always come to when I'm feeling a little worried. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Wow, so much richness here. First, do not be afraid, little flock. This means that God is our shepherd. He leads us. He takes care of us. "For your Father," he's a good father, "is pleased to give you the kingdom," which means he is the king. And this passage is an invitation to the kind of life that followers of Jesus can have under the rule and reign of Jesus, a life of peace that's free from over worry. And let me just look at two things about God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, followers recognize that our lives are in God's hands, not in our hands. Everything is in God's hands. Our food, our shelter, our clothes, our jobs. He provides for it all. And our hands are very limited and small compared to God's hands. I like how it says in verse 25, who of you by worrying could add a single hour to your life? I can't do it. You can't do it. Another translation in the King James Version said, who of you can worry can add a few inches or a cubit to your height? I can't. I'm a short little guy. No matter how hard I try, I can't. If we can't do these little things, why should we worry about it? God can easily, and He knows what we need, and our life is in His hands. The second point quickly is, in God's kingdom, followers recognize that the kingdom is a gift to be received, not a privilege to be earned or to work for. If you look at this text, kind of superficially, it seems that Jesus tells all of us to stop worrying, and it seems that it's up to us to stop worrying. But if you look closely, you can see that we can only do this after we have received the kingdom. And receiving and seeking the kingdom is very different than seeking the world. And if you look at those three verses, 29, 30, 31, I think Luke is drawing a contrast between seeking the world system and seeking the kingdom. It says in 29, do not set your heart, and actually the same word is in Greek is seek, what you'll eat or drink. And then in verse 30, for the pagan world runs after such things, that's another same word is seek. The pagan world seeks these things, but seek, in verse 30, His kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. I think Jesus is saying, do not frantically, anxiously seek after things of the world. Your food, your clothing, your shelter even. Everybody else is seeking after that. And what's real, what happens is even after you think you find what you're looking for, there's never going to be enough. There's never enough wealth or money, never enough storehouses, never enough relaxation and free time. Don't set your heart on these things. Rather, seek the kingdom. And instead of the world where you always have to seek and fight for it, God's kingdom is hard to find. God's kingdom is easy to find. In fact, it says here in 32, the Father is eager. He is so pleased to give you His kingdom. And after we accept God's call to receive the kingdom, after we shift our focus from always seeking after the world, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, and turn our focus to God's kingdom, the Father is right there, eager to give you His kingdom. He is so pleased, and He wants it for you. You don't have to work for it. Jesus, through His life and death and resurrection, He has given us God's kingdom. It's a gift of grace. He has defeated the kingdom of darkness, and all He wants us to do is receive it as God's children, to take it. And once we do, we will experience true life, eternal life beyond material possessions. We will become true followers of Jesus who trust in Him and experience freedom from over-worrying. Because investing in this world creates worry. Receiving God's kingdom calms worry. And once we do receive God's kingdom, this is the type of people we will become. In verse 33, it says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail. And I think Luke, again, the writer, is contrasting the rich fool to the type of people under God's kingdom. Instead of hoarding our wealth, followers of Jesus are generous to others. They are, in fact, eager to sell their possessions and give to those in need and to invest in God's kingdom, a heavenly purse. And I believe that those who are true followers of Jesus who have this eager love just to give, to even sell what we have and give to the poor, because we know that God will provide for us. We know that God clothes the birds of the field, clothes the flowers in the field and gives food to the birds. And when we trust in Him, It's easy to give what we have away. God and Jesus gave us everything, and now we respond to that by giving everything back to Him and back to our neighbors. And instead of investing in this world, followers of Jesus will invest in God's kingdom, loving Him and serving their neighbors. Investing in this world creates worry. Receiving God's kingdom calms worry. We've looked at two things so far. Fans of Jesus invest in this world, and followers of Jesus receive God's kingdom. Let me just end with just one application with kind of three little points. Confess, receive, and invest. First off is confess. Are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? I encourage you to be honest. Look at where you invest your time, your talents, and treasures. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you whether you trust God completely, or is there part of your heart trusting in other things? What is your worry telling you about your love for God? He loves you. Just confess to Him. And second, after that, is receive God's kingdom. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to be better. We don't have to stop worrying first and then receive God's kingdom. But the Father is eager to give it to you. And it's an invitation Jesus has to free you from over-worrying and to experience the peace that God has for you. And finally, after we confess and receive God's kingdom, we then invest. We respond to God's generosity by investing of our time, talents, and treasures. And I encourage you as a house church or as an individual, think of ways that you can be generous and loving to others. Think of ways that you can sell your possessions and give to the poor. Give up some of what you have so that others can have more. And I encourage you also to commit to being part of God's kingdom in His ministries, such as Mosaic House. Thank you for your continued support and partnership, and continue to do so, investing your time, talents, and treasures in God's kingdom and what He's doing here at Mosaic House and other ministries as well. And what's amazing is investing in God's kingdom will actually help our anxious hearts return to trusting in God. It's sometimes hard to tithe when money's tight. It's sometimes hard to give our time when we feel like we're so busy. But when we do, I always amazed at how God pulls through and says, I don't know if I do this, I'm not sure how we're going to make it. And we do. or else we realize that, wow, I didn't really need that in the first place. I could just give it away. Life is more than just what I have. It's about God's kingdom and heavenly investment. And before I end, let me just do this quick side note, okay? Anxiety is not just a moral issue, okay? You're not anxious only because of your lack of trust in God. Like I said earlier, there is unhealthy anxiety and worry, and also healthy anxiety and worry. And I struggle with anxiety myself, and I've come to realize that it does come from two places. One is my participation in this world system. That is, if I look deep in my heart, one root cause of my anxiety is my lack of trust in God. And instead of trusting in Him, I'm putting my trust in this world system, in the economy and all this stuff, and also trusting myself, my own ability. But also, anxiety is the result of my participation in this world system, but also the fact that I'm a product of this world system. God's kingdom is here, but we are still in this broken world. And we are still broken people. And anxiety is the result of a multitude of biological, physical, relational, social, psychological, and circumstantial factors. And this kind of anxiety needs professional support. It needs relational support. It needs the body of Christ to be with you. And if you struggle with this kind of anxiety, know that Jesus understands, He knows, He loves you so much, He is walking with you, and He will care for you. And the Father is pleased to give you His kingdom, even in the midst of your anxiety. And also that we at Mosaic House are here for you, and house churches are there for you as well. Let me end with this story. I mentioned earlier that my struggle with anxiety with Sarah in Uganda, and now this big bill in the mail. And after reflecting on it, I realized that my worry for Sarah in Uganda was a healthy one. It was fine. But the bill in the mail that was coming, the Holy Spirit nudged me saying, "This is an issue, Jeremiah. Why are you worried about it? Trust in me. I will take care of you. And I realized that deep in my heart, this worry was revealing that my trust wasn't fully in God. I wasn't fully following God. I was more of a fan in those moments of worry. And the Holy Spirit said, just trust in me. And by His grace, I was able to give that worry to God. And even though the situation may not be resolved, I trusting in Him. And that is the purpose of Jesus' word. It's an invitation to live in God's kingdom and free from over-worrying. It's through His Holy Spirit giving His attitude that even if we lost everything, even if we became bankrupt, even if we died, we will still trust in the Lord for our lives. It's He who takes care of us. He who provides for us. For our lives are more than food and clothes, and in this present world, our lives are called to be part of the mission of the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is where our heart and our treasure should be investing in. Investing in this world creates worry. Receiving God's kingdom calms worry. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you, Jesus, for your words. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father knows what you need. And you are pleased, He is pleased to give us the kingdom. Lord, our hearts are anxious. We don't know what's going to happen. Thank you that you know it all. Nothing surprises you. You know exactly what we need, and you promise to take care of us. Lord, we adore you and praise you for that. We confess times when we have not placed our trust in you, but other things. We confess it to your hands right now, and we seek after your kingdom. Help us, Lord. Thank you that you have given it to us freely. Thank you for who you are, Lord. And I just want to pray for those who are struggling right now with internal anxiety, maybe mental health concerns because of everything going on. Those who have lost jobs time and time again, who can't find work, who are just so struggling so much. Lord, walk with them. Be their peace. Give them eyes to see that your kingdom is here and greater than this world system. May you break through in their lives in many ways. And may we as a people of God support each other and grow in trust of you. Help us to be people who are of your kingdom and not of this world, so that others may know who you are. Help us, Jesus. We thank you for your provision and kindness. We pray all this in the kind and loving name of Jesus. Amen.